Okay, ready to go?
Okay,
Mishnah Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, new topic. So today we're going to begin a topic of the socher. A socher is somebody who rents an object. Now a socher is an interesting, there are four shomrim, as they are classically known, four people who are watching something of someone else. Sometimes, for example, we give something to someone else and say, here, please hold this for me, or even I'll pay you to watch it. So a shomer chinam or a shomer socher, someone who's watching my object. And then we have cases where the other person initiates the relationship. He says, can I borrow your bike? Can I borrow your car? So he's a shoel. So a shoel, someone who borrows something, is a very high level of responsibility because he's paying nothing and he's getting use of somebody else's things for free. So he's responsible for it while he's watching it. A socher, a guy who rents something, is a very interesting category, which is what we're going to discuss. Because on the one hand, he's paying money for the use of or the rights to use whatever it is that he's using. If he rents a bike, he rents a car. So I paid you money. I have rights to it. At the same time, it's your thing, and I have responsibilities to
make sure nothing happens.
Correct. So I have rights to use, and I have to also safeguard at the same time your property that I am in control over, but I'm paying for this right. So it creates a very interesting dynamic. So for example, in a way that this dynamic would play itself out, let's just take an example, which you rent a car. And you get into an accident.
But you have to put a
deposit, too. Well, forget about modern day in terms of, let's just talk about something. You rent a car, and you get into an accident. Now, before we uncover exactly what happened at the accident, you call up the car rental place, and you say, I got into an accident. Now, what's going to happen after that are going to be two simultaneous claims that each party is going to make against the other. You call up the car rental company, and what's your intention of calling them up? You tell them,
I didn't do it.
No, you say, give me a new car. I paid money to be able to rent a car, and this car is no good. It got into an accident.
By itself.
Or it wasn't my fault. What am I going to say? It wasn't my fault. Someone else hit me. Now the car is no good. Give me a new car. And they're going to say, wait a minute.
You owe
me for ruining the car. So that's a dual answer. That doesn't exist by a shoel. If I borrow something and I ruin it, I don't have a claim against the person who lent it to me. The only claim is one way. You borrowed it, and now you're not giving it back in the way that you took it from me. But when I rent something, we're going to have two simultaneous claims of, I, the renter, I'm paying money, I want my money's worth. Versus the owner is going to say, well, wait a minute. Maybe you're actually responsible for paying me because you ruined my thing. So that is going to be one of the issues that we are going to address in terms of how that levels of responsibility is going to play out under different circumstances when the item is unusable. The context of our discussion is going to be, what if the renter changed from or deviated from the terms of the original contract, in which he had a contract to use it under a certain circumstance and he deviated from it? Let's take a simple modern day example before we get to the Mishnah. Let's say I rent a bike and I get to the shop and they say, well, what kind of bike would you like, sir? Do you want a mountain bike or do you want a regular, whatever you call it, street bike, road, I don't know, whatever it's called, road bike. So I say, well, what's the difference? They say, well, we only rent out mountain bikes if you're going on mountain trails because it has this kind of air pressure and this kind of tire and this kind of gear, all the good stuff. And if you're riding it on the streets, you take this kind of bike. So I say, I'm not going on the mountain bike. I'm not going on any trails. I'm just riding around the streets. I want this kind of bike. They say, fine. And then I take it on a mountain trail. I rented a normal bike, and then it breaks. Or lots of things could have happened. Somebody else could have bumped it. We could come up with 1,000 things, but the point is, I'm not supposed to be here right now because the terms of the rental that I chose was specifically to be in one type of environment, and I changed from the agreement, the sheet, just passing the sheet, I changed from the environment I was supposed to be in, and I went to a different place. And then when something happens, what's going to be my responsibility given the fact that I've already changed from where I'm supposed to be? Our mission is going to address this in the case of renting an animal, which was the equivalent of our modern day renting a car. You'd rent an animal to schlep things from point A to point B. And there were generally two different ways to get there, through the valley and through the mountains. And in the same ways you would have two different types of bikes, you would have two different types of animals. Those which were accustomed and trained to climb mountains, and those which were accustomed to travel through the valley. And each place has its own positives and negatives. A mountaintop has crisp, clean air, but it's also much more dangerous walking. Yeah, a hilly area, it's a thin, narrow path. You have to know how to manage if you're taking an animal up a mountain. When you're on the valley, it's easier to walk. You don't have thin, narrow, sharp edges, but you have a little more stale air because you're down in the valley. You don't have the crisp. So there are reasons to go for both. But it was known in that time you had the two different ways of going. And we're going to discuss where you deviate a little bit from that and then something goes wrong. That's our context.
But it doesn't make sense. If you're renting an animal, it goes up and it goes down. It has to go someplace where people are. So it's probably going to hit a valley anyway. The animals
not necessarily.
It goes from point A to point B over the mountain.
Could be. Listen, in a situation in which you're taking them both, and taking them both. But let's say it was specifically supposed to be in one area and the other, and you took it somewhere else. So what I did on the sheet in front of you is our Mishnah is going to have six different cases. So because it's a little bit more complicated to read it straight out of the Gemara to keep straight all of the different cases. I thought it would be beneficial just to read the Mishnah out of this little sheet that I created. I did nothing other than break down the Mishnah and translate it. The Mishnah itself has three sections. You see within each section there are multiple cases, and so I figured just because of the confusion of keeping all that straight, we'll divide it. So we're going to do section 1, section 2, section 3, and you see section 2 has three parts and section 3 has two parts. So let's tackle it. You can read it through the Mishnah, through the sheet, it's the same thing, but hopefully this will just give us the basis from which to then address the Gemara with a clear understanding. Says the Mishnah, Hasoicher es hachamor leholicha bahar, the holicha babika. You rented a donkey, and you rented it to drive it on the mountaintop. And instead, the renter deviates from the terms, and he takes it into a valley. Or babika, it was rented to drive it specifically through a valley. V'holicha bahar. And instead, he took it up to a mountaintop. So we have a classic case. You rented an animal, and you deviated from the terms in which it was supposed to be. Afilu zu eser milin v'zu eser milin. Even if the distance traveled under what was supposed to be versus what you did were the same. Even in the case where you didn't take it any farther, so no one can claim, well, you worked longer or harder than it was supposed to be. Vamesa, and the animal dies. Chayiv. So now the animal's dead. Now the renter might claim, I need a new animal. I rented an animal and it's dead. Says the Mishnah, forget about the fact that you're claiming a new animal. We got a bigger problem on our hands. You who deviated from the terms of the rental, you're obligated for the death of this animal, and you have to pay the owner back for its death. You deviated, the animal died in a place where it wasn't supposed to be. You are chayav for the death. That is case number one. We will discuss this extensively in the Gemara, but that is the basics of case number one. So far, so good?
Yeah.
Terms and conditions. Okay.
Case number two, or section number two of our Mishnah, is going to have three cases. It's going to start off the same way. Hasoicher es hachamor leholicha bahar, now in 2a. You rent a donkey to take it into a mountain, veholicha babikar. And instead, even though you rented it to take it up to a mountaintop, you take it down, you took it down to a valley. Im hechlika potor, if it slipped, if it tripped, if something happened in which it lost its footing while in the valley and it broke its leg or it died. So now again, you're supposed to be on the mountaintop. That was the terms of where you were supposed to take this animal. You took it through the valley, and while it's down there in the valley, it slips, it trips, it falls, and it breaks a leg or it dies. Whatever happened doesn't matter. Damages are incurred. Says the Mishnah, Potter. You, the renter, are not obligated for that damage. Why not?
Because it was less treacherous.
Excellent. Because the terms were to take it up to a mountaintop, which means the owner assumed a certain risk when he rented out the animal. He gave you an animal that was supposed to be able to manage a mountaintop, which is a much more treacherous type of walk. So that if it tripped in a valley, even though I'm not supposed to be there, but you can't blame it on me, the renter, that something happened if it tripped in an area which is an easier walk than where I was supposed to be. Says the Mishnah, therefore, I'm not obligated to pay for damages. Ve'im huchama, however, if it overheated while there in the valley, and therefore either collapsed, died, whatever happened, some type of damage occurred to the animal, says the Mishnah, chayim, so then you'd be obligated for that, because again, you were supposed to take it up to a mountaintop where the air is crisp and clean, and cool. The owner
and cool,
and the owner knew, I gave you the type of animal that needs that type of environment, and you deviated from where it was supposed to be, took it down to a valley where the air is stale and hot, and now that it does, it's your fault. Therefore, you're going to be obligated to pay for the damages of that scenario. That is case 2A. 2B is the exact opposite. L'holicho ba'biko ve'holicho bahar. If you rented it to take it specifically in a valley, and instead you deviated and took it up in to a mountaintop, im hechlik, if it slips, breaks a leg, chayiv, you're obligated. Why?
Because not accustomed to it.
Same reason. You rented an animal that was supposed to be in a flat area in a valley. It's a sturdy animal that can handle heat, but it can't handle a treacherous terrain. And you see, it slipped and fell. So the owner has the right to say to you, the renter, you're obligated for that. You're responsible for that. And you would have to pay for the damages. Vim huchama. However, if it overheats up on the top of the mountain, so if it overheats, that we're not responsible. We're on 78A.
Thank you.
If it overheats, since you rented it to take it into the valley, that you're not responsible for.
When the valley is hotter than the...
Valley was considered, because of the stale air, hotter than the mountaintop where you have the crisp, cool breeze.
It's always like that.
Cool breeze.
Can you tell us backwards? What's the difference between the first and second case?
Give me the numbers. 1A, 1B, which one are you talking about?
2A, 2B.
Broken leg, that's this whole difference?
You're asking between
2A and 2B.
No, give me numbers. You're talking about one, because in other words, there are two cases in the second section.
No. Yeah, I don't know that. The first, where the Mishnah...
You're distinguishing between 1 and 2A and 2B.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. That's what the Gemara is going to ask. In other words, so Hoodie's pointing out with the Gemara, which we were going to get to in a moment. We'll do it right now. In the case we just did, 2A and 2B, we have a situation in which a renter deviated from what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to take it to the valley. He went to the mountain or the mountain, and he took it to the valley. And the Mishnah then delineates a specific cause of death. And it discusses, well, why did it die? Did it overheat or did it slip? And the Mishnah says, well, if it slipped, well, if you were supposed to be on the mountaintop anyway and it slipped down below, that's not your problem, you're exempt. But if it overheated, then you are liable. And if the opposite way, you know, if it overheated, where it was supposed to be in the valley. But the Mishnah clearly gives me a cause of death.
Oh, the second one is also death. It's not just that it slipped and broke a leg. It actually died.
Yeah.
It died.
Yeah, let's assume it died.
Fine. Thank you.
Okay. But we still have a problem.
We're always talking about death here.
Yeah, let's assume we're always talking about it. When I say it gets injured or dead, I mean either one. Whether you have to pay for it. Either way. In other words, the question is, are you liable for whatever would happen?
Either way.
Okay, so it becomes useless.
Well, that's going to be our problem. In other words, that would be a strange way to structure a mission if that's what's going on. In other words, the real problem, which the Gemara is going to talk about, which we'll get to. Let's throw the case. Yeah, we'll get to the problem. Yeah. We'll get there in a second. We'll get there in a second.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam
Shehakol
Nehiyah B'dvaro.
Always
the animal's dead. That's all I need.
Yeah, let's assume the animal is dead. Okay, 2C. So 2A and 2B were, again, where you deviated, and the Mishnah asks, you know, how did it die? Did it slip or did it overheat? And depending on what it did or what its cause of death was, you'll either be exempt or liable to pay. And if you were supposed to be in a valley and you took it up to the top of the mountain and it overheated because of the ascent, meaning not necessarily that it didn't overheat because you could see it overheating up there, but as it's climbing up or whatever, maybe we could attribute because of the extra exertion, then also we would say you're obligated because this animal is supposed to be in the valley.
What sort of donkey is that supposed to be? A valley or a mountain donkey?
Valley donkey.
That's a valley donkey.
Yeah, so if a valley donkey...
it's a continuation of 2B.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Was taken up to the top, then you would be obligated. Okay, those are section 1 and section 2 of our Mishnah, where you are a renter and you deviated from the terms of your condition, whether you are obligated or not. The end of our Mishnah, 3A and 3B, are going to discuss where you are a renter and you lose... part of the usage of your animal. Let's talk this through outside before we even get to the Mishnah inside for a moment. Let's say I rent an animal or a car in our example. I'll go back to my example of a bike. I go on vacation and I'm in an area with a lot of bike trails and I rent a bike. Excellent. I rent it for a week. I'm going to be there for a week, a 7-day rental. And it rains for 5 of the days in a way in which the paths are completely washed out, and the local park, or whatever, closed all of the trails. So 5 of the 7 days I can't use my bike. So I go back to the rental company in the 7 days and I say, I want a refund. I only was able to use the bike 2 of the 7 days because the rain washed away the trails. So what will the rental company say to me?
I can't control the weather.
Right? They're going to say, tough noogies. Right? They could use a bunch of different languages, all of which would be inclusive in what you said. Like, that's not our problem. I rented it to you for 7 days. I'm really sorry that it rained, but I don't control the weather. I didn't make your bike unusable to you. It was an act of God. It rained. I'm sorry. And I don't think anyone would make any argument otherwise that you'd have a right to get a refund unless there was specifically in the terms of the contract. But in a normal circumstance, it's the way it goes. I'm sorry. The weather happened that way. Life happens all the time. And sometimes when you rent something and you can't get use of it because of that, what are you going to do? That's how it goes. And we will all agree to that. So our Mishnah is going to have two variations of that case that we would all agree to. Let me give one other case that we would all agree to. What happens if you rented the bike for 7 days and you get out to the trail and you discover that the bike doesn't work? Bike doesn't work. They gave you a bike that you hadn't tried it out. They put it in the back of your trunk and you get out to the thing and it doesn't work. It doesn't have the right number of gears. It's supposed to be a mountain bike with 10 gears and only has 2 gears. It doesn't work. So you go back to the company and say, this bike was no good. So, do I have a claim there if I specifically rented a mountain bike and it doesn't function in the mountains? Can I claim my money back?
Yeah.
Sure, they didn't give me what I rented. I rented a mountain bike to do these particular trails, and the bike they gave me doesn't do that. I have a right to claim this isn't what I rented. Now, the Mishnah is going to give us a couple of variations. What if the Mishnah is the following two cases? One which is very applicable to us. Neither one of us is directly applicable. We'll have to apply it in our modern day terms. Says the Mishnah, what happens if I rent an animal for 7 days and the king's army comes and conscripts my animal for a couple of the days, which was a common occurrence in those days. Kings had all sorts of needs. In the same way as today's government can come and take your land and build a road, they had a right to come. They would use it. They needed to transport goods from point A to point B. So how did the king do that? So what he did is he started in point A, and he would take all the animals of town A, and they would move it 50 kilometers, and then he'd give the animals back to the local farms, and then he'd take all the animals from the next farm over, and they would take it from where the first guys left it off, and they would move it the next 50 kilometers, and he would give the animals back to those little farmers, and so on and so forth. It was a common occurrence that the king would just come, take all the animals for a couple of days, transport whatever they needed to be transported, then give your animals back. They didn't want your animals, they just needed it for...
And they don't care if they're rented.
They don't care whose animal it is. They're like, we're the king. We're taking your animals. We're the local pirates. We're the local governor. We're the local whatever. That's what we're doing. So says the Mishnah, well, what happens if it happens that during my rental period? I rented an animal for 7 days to go on vacation to schlep my grain from the field to the market. And then the king comes and he takes the animal for 4 of the 7 days. He took it. He does whatever. And he gives it back to me. So I go back to the owner and I say... And I didn't have the animal for 4 days. It wasn't that it rained. It's like, I didn't have the animal. The king came, took the animal from me. I only want to pay for 3 of the days. The owner says, listen, Ali knows that I didn't have the animal for 7 days. I gave it to you 7 days ago. You're giving it back to me in 7 days. You had a 7-day rental.
So what happens if the animal was a valley donkey and the king took it for 4 days and he drove it up a mountain and it died on the mountain?
Yeah.
A valley donkey slipped, died.
Yeah,
who's responsible?
What do you think?
Is it the king?
Of course it's the king. So you're not going to get anything from the king.
So the
it's not the renter's fault. He's not going to have to pay for that.
So the renter has to sue the king then, or he has to get his money.
Good luck.
That's my point.
100%. But that's not a case. In other words, who's claiming what? In other words, the owner's going to claim against the renter that you owe me money. The renter's going to say the king killed your animal. What do you want from me? Right, he's not going to have a claim. You're right. In other words, you're right. That'll be the king's responsibility, but there's no one who's going to have a claim. Our claim is the renter now wants to go back to the owner and say, I only had the animal for 3 days.
Yeah.
I wasn't even in my possession. And he'll say, here are the documents. The king came. They signed off on here. They signed back when they gave it back to me. And I didn't have it. So can the renter come back to the owner and say, I don't have the animal. I'm only paying for 3 days. So Newt, what do you say? Is that analogous to the rain or to something else?
Yes. It's an act of God.
It's not
an act of king.
She says the Mishnah, it's an act of the king, which is equivalent to the act of God as far as we're concerned.
The king reigns by divine right.
You have no recourse. You as the renter, you rented it for 7 days, even though you physically only had it in your possession for 3, but if it was the king who came and took it, you can't claim that again. That's your bad mazel. In life, whenever we deal with monetary law in halacha, so we always recognize there's such a thing called bad mazel. Now, which we literally just mean as, it stinks, something happened. So, but that doesn't mean that someone else has to pay. It means somebody had the bad misfortune that this event happened. Somebody lost money. And it happens all the time. The only question is, who suffers the loss? So in such a case, the Mishnah is going to teach, we'll read it inside in a moment, the renter is bad mazel. You rented a car, and it rained. You rented a bike, and it rained. You rented a car, the king came. Like, what do you want from the owner? It's not his problem, it's your problem, and you have to pay him for your full rate.
This looks like a Greek word, angaria.
Yeah. Case number 2 the Mishnah is going to discuss in a moment is hivrika, which means that the animal went blind. Now, this is a little bit more complicated. Now, the animal going blind. Let's break it down for a moment. What happens if I rented an animal? Now, I rented a donkey to schlep produce from point A to point B. That's why I rented my donkey. Does it really matter if the animal is blind? Can it do its job while it's blind?
If you lead it.
Got no idea.
What do you mean you have no idea? Well, yes. Okay. You never had a blind donkey before? So think this through. In other words, can a blind donkey do its job?
Yes.
It can. It can. It just is going to be an inconvenience because since the animal is blind, it's going to require a little bit more effort and guidance on the driver's perspective.
However, on a mountain with a small path,
okay, potentially not, but as far as if it's a schlepping donkey, the kayak of the donkey is its strength, and the donkey can move, especially if you lined it up, let's say it was in a group of 3, and it was in the middle, it could work. It's a workable animal. It's an inconvenience that it can't see because it's going
to
require more effort.
Blind and because of
One second. Before that, we're not even up to that. You're asking. We're not even up to that. No. So let's say I rented an animal as a donkey to be a schlepper, and when I pick up the animal, he gives me an animal that's blind. Do I have a right as a renter to say, no, I rented a fully functional animal. You gave me something that I want. Give me one that can see. So luckily, I have a right to say that. I'm renting it right now. You're providing me with an animal that is not fully functional, and I can give it back and say, I rented a fully functional animal. That's what you have to give me. But what happens if the animal goes blind during your rental? Now, this is a little bit more complicated, because think about what
you didn't cause it to
you didn't know and cause it. Animals go blind. It happens, right? Animals, they lose their sight. They get old, whatever happens. So it's a natural event that your bad mazel happened during your rental.
Who's bad mazel?
Excellent. I left that as a big your bad mazel. That's the question. Whose bad mazel is it that the animal happened to have gone blind during the time that I rented it? In other words, is that an act of God like raining and washing out my paths? No. Is that an act of God like the king came and took my animal? So during my rental, the animal went from fully functional to 80%, 70% functional. It still works. It can still do its job. It's just an inconvenience that now I need to
compensate
a little bit more with it. But it's a functional animal. And it happened under my rental.
50-50.
Well, everybody loses something here. You have to work harder.
So the renter paid.
Correct. Now again, if he gave me a bad and a blind animal
to start with,
then I can say he didn't give me what I rented.
Yeah, but the renter paid with the expectation that he's going to have 7 days of a donkey that
fully functions.
100%. If the king comes,
that was the compensation.
If the king comes,
or takes it for 4 days,
right? And if the king comes, takes it 4 days, who bore the risk? The owner. What did we say? The owner.
No, the renter has to pay full. Yeah.
Who's the renter?
Yeah. No. Let's say if I rent a bike and the paths get washed out by rain, I don't have a claim against the owner. It's my bad luck, right? Because it happened under my rental.
Because I gave you the bike, though.
Correct.
I gave you the bike. With the example where the king takes the donkey,
mm-hmm.
and I only got 4 days instead of 7 days.
I still pay.
You have to pay.
My bad mazel?
Yeah, it's your bad mazel.
It wasn't the owner's bad mazel.
So your answer is bad mazel. So the mission is going to teach, which you mean.
There's a differentiation.
Yeah.
The donkey belonged to the owner.
Okay.
He could have known or should have known that his donkey's so old that he's approaching an age where he might lose his sight.
Okay. So it's a fair point. In other words, the Mishnah puts these two cases together because they need to learn both because you can't learn one from another.
Like
so let's learn the law. The halacha is not... And not this way.
It's like when we had the field business with the geek. You should know that it...
Correct. So it's a fair point. It's definitely a fair point.
So the renter...
Let's learn the Mishnah. 3a. Hasoicher es hachamor v'hevrika. One hires a donkey and it went blind under his watch. Oshinasis angaria. Or is conscripted by the king. Omer lo hare shalcha lefanacha. The owner can say the phrase of what's yours is before you, which means... You have what you have, and tough luck on you. This is your animal. Now, that's the halacha. Let's do one more halacha, and then we'll go back and talk this through. Mesa onishbara, but if it died, or its leg was broken, so that now it's a non-functional animal, chayiv laha'amid lo chamor. The owner is obligated to provide him with a new donkey.
Interesting.
Okay, so let's work this through. I rented my donkey, and now my donkey, in the middle of my rental term, becomes non-functional. I can't use it. Can't schlep goods from one place to another with a broken leg. Or died. So if I pay for a rental, and now my animal is non-functional, I have a right to go back and the owner has to replace it. If the animal is functional, can do the task that it was hired to do, or rented to do, but is not as optimal in its function... Because now it's blind, and I need to set it up with another animal, or I need to lead it. On that, the Mishnah says, that's your bad mazel. That it went blind under you. Let me just finish that. That it went blind under your watch, because you can still use it. It's still a functional animal to do the task for which you rented. If it dies or breaks a leg, you can go back and say, this animal is no good.
Okay.
Okay, now we can talk through Phil's point and your point. Yeah, what do you got?
Okay, here's what I got. Donkey goes blind halfway through my task with the donkey.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Okay, I know I'm going to be liable. But this is a mountain donkey. And because it went blind, it misstepped, broke his leg because it went blind and then died.
Okay.
So whose is it now?
Yes, a new way
is
to
it
think.
Because of the blindness or just because it just broke its leg like that?
So what do you think? What do you think?
I don't know.
So I would think if a blind animal slips, you would say it's because it's blind. And even though I have to bear the loss of dealing with a blind animal, I would certainly not have to deal with the damages caused by that. That I would say back to the owner. That's your bad mazel.
So there's only a certain part of damages I have to deal
with.
Not
damages.
So long as it lives.
Not damages. Well, you're only dealing with that you can't get your money back or a new animal. You bear the bad mazel of your rental... isn't, you can't replace it. In other words, if it dies or if it becomes non-functional, I can go back to the owner and say, you have to replace this.
It's not an all or nothing.
If it's functional, then it's my bad mazel that I don't have a fully functional animal. Certainly, if it broke a leg because it was blind, then I would say to the owner, that's your bad mazel. But I can't go back. If it becomes non-functional, I can go back. Now, to Phil's point, which I think is a fair point, of... how much do we expect the owner to have known that it was at an age where it might have gone blind? That might be absolutely true. Meaning to say, I have no idea how reasonable it is that an owner knows its animal might go blind soon.
Knows more than the renter.
True, but I'm saying, does he know enough to make it reasonable? In other words, there are two ways we could learn this Mishnah. It could be that the reason why the Mishnah chose the example of going blind is because that's actually a very uncommon occurrence where an animal outlives its eyesight.
Like,
they die, whatever. We just don't have so many blind animals.
The simple concepts. When you're and not only that, there could be a wide disparity of donkeys going blind.
Guy pays in consideration. He pays, right? What's he paying? He's paying that I think I'm going to get a donkey. Well, he's going to have eyesight for 7 days.
100%. I agree.
That's a reasonable expectation.
Who's bad? 100%.
So, I'm paying. I'm not getting something. You know, I'm paying for something. So,
and
if I didn't get something for what I paid for, why should it be my bad mazel?
So I think this is, what Phil's question is really what this Mishnah is addressing. When you paid for something and it broke its leg or died, 100% you have a right to say, I paid for an animal that can do its task. What this Mishnah to me is teaching is, if you paid for an animal to do a task and you got an animal that can do its task, it just can't do a task in the most optimal way. Let me give this an example. Let me give an example. Let's say a modern day example. I rent a car.
And the AC broke.
I rent a car. Let's take a bunch
of different.
But just even in just without our the civil in our world, just think about forget about all the way. I rent a car in whatever city that I'm in, as I'm driving it, as I'm parked, I go to a restaurant, I come back, and somebody scratched the side of the door. The back passenger door got scratched.
Yeah.
So you take a picture.
Can I go to the place and say, I need a new car?
No.
What do you mean? I wanted a car that was sparkly. I want to drive through the streets and have people say, wow, look at that car. That's what I wanted. Do I have a right?
You can take it to an extreme.
Correct, that's my point.
You smash in the passenger door, or you smash in the driver door. You can't get in through the driver door. You have to go through the passenger
door. No, that's my point. In other words, there's a point of functional, and then there's a point of...
aesthetics.
Or something else, right? So let's draw the lines. In other words, I start with a scratch. Can we agree that there's no way that I have a right to go back and demand a new car when you is fully functional the way that it is? We're not going to hold you accountable, the car rental place says to me, for the scratch. We see that it wasn't your fault. You were parked. You have all the evidence. But we're not obligated to give you a new car. Because what's the problem with this? It's not the way you wanted it in the ideal dream world that you had. It's functional. What happens if, let's just throw out examples, the AC breaks. Let's say power windows don't work and now you need to do it manually. At what point can you say this now shifted out of a scratch that
changed the functionality?
That changed the at what point? So we could talk about in our modern, having no AC if I'm renting a car in Florida in the summer is a non-functional car. I can't function that way. I have a right to replace to come and say
January in Montreal.
Correct. I say the AC doesn't work. They say who cares that it's not working, right? But if the heat doesn't work, then it's not functional. But the clicker breaks. And now in order for me to unlock and lock the door, I need to actually put the key in. I know. There's such a thing, you could put a key in and turn. You don't know about such a thing, right? Right?
I don't even know about putting the key in.
Well, you don't even know what that means, right? There's such a thing, key in the ignition, right? Let's say the automatic clicker breaks and you actually have to turn the key to open up the lock of the door. Can I demand a new car because of the inconvenience that this causes me, that I can't click my door open and shut, I have to actually manually turn it. Can I demand a new car?
Yeah, let him walk.
It's inconvenience, but does that inconvenience shift into the world of, I have a right to a new car?
Donkey without sight to do work? Yeah.
So
a donkey going on a mountain.
So now,
that sounds like worse than no AC.
Donkey in the village, valley. Donkey in the mountain. It's not a matter of you leading it. Then you can go so slow, you'll never get your work done.
Excellent. So now we can talk about the blind donkey.
You end up working like the chamor to get the donkey to do
so,
the work.
So
right.
If,
it's very inefficient.
So I think it would be a fair point that if the nature, again, now none of us, I don't think, have donkeys, right? Anyone?
No.
So
maybe accused of being.
I didn't ask that specifically. I knew not to ask that question. So I think given the absence of any one of us knowing how difficult it is to have a blind donkey, the Mishnah is clearly delineating it between a broken leg and going blind. A broken leg is non-functional, and I have a right to demand a new donkey.
Basically, you're saying they would never have brought in the example of a blind donkey after going through the example of a broken leg.
Correct. In other words, we're contrasting that a blind donkey is functional, just an inconvenience. How much of an inconvenience? That's the level of inconvenience that you can't demand something. That's our example. In other words,
otherwise they wouldn't have introduced.
Correct. In other words, now we can't relate to, is that a broken AC? Is that a clicker? Is that a scratch? It's hard for us to relate to that. But what the mission is delineating is, that level is still in the world of It's functional. It's inconvenience.
Here's the
and therefore, that's your bad mazel because it happened under your rental. I gave you a valid donkey, and life happened. The donkey went blind. What do you want me to, like, who knew that was going to happen?
The headlights don't work. You can't drive it at night.
That's not functional.
You can't function with it at night, but you can do it in the day.
Okay, but it's about
same
if
idea.
You,
again, it's irrelevant. They're saying they draw the line at a different spot.
Okay, then in our modern day world, if I can't drive at night, that's a non-functional car. It's not functional. I can't. It's illegal for me to drive it.
I remember when
you won't drive it. You won't drive it at night.
You get a car for 24 hours, not.
You get it for 12 hours then, probably.
Yeah, but I disagree because I think there should be a parallel between the case of the blindness and the conscription by the king. Whereas you completely lose the function of your donkey when the king takes it, perhaps the donkey is not functional when it goes blind. Certainly you can't take it on the mountain.
Well, then why would we distinguish between being broken or dead?
No, because, I mean, that's the difference between 3A and 3B. Whereas as 3B, the owner could have told there was something wrong with his donkey. He's going to break his leg if he rents it out for a week. Or he might die if he rents it out for a week.
Why would they have to bring in the example of the king and
right, that's what
they
I'm
both
saying.
Fall on the same side of the of that difference.
No, they're very different. Let's work this through. The king is I have no functioning animal, but it was a clear act of God.
One has results, one has no results.
Right, in other words, that's why we have all these different cases. When the king comes, I literally don't have the donkey for five out of the seven days. I get zero. But because that is an act of God, that's the
blindness is an act of God as well.
Correct.
Also an act of God.
As it is dying.
But it's not zero.
Except
function.
When it's right. In other words, that's the.
But it's partially functional.
And that's the difference that you were discussing earlier. In other words, if it's intrinsic to the animal, then I have to replace it.
Right. But the blindness is.
That's
not
the difference between the king and the death. In other words, let's work this through. This is literally what the Mishnah is teaching us. If my animal dies, then we say. You have to replace that. You paid me for this. This is my animal, and the animal that I gave you wasn't functional. If an outside source comes in, like the king, then we could say that's your bad mazel.
Yeah, but this is what I'm claiming.
Exactly the same.
Exactly, I agree, and that's why that's what the Mishnah delineates them. In other words, even though I don't have the animal in both cases,
wouldn't you say as follows? I have an act of God where the king comes and takes the donkey.
Mm-hmm.
And even in that situation, I have zero functionality.
Correct.
And I bear the risk as a renter.
Yep.
So wouldn't you say then, kal v'chomer, if I have partial, I have an act of God of blindness, and I have partial functionality, then I bear the risk? That makes sense.
You bear the risk as a renter.
Of course you do. It's an act of God.
But what I'm saying is, If a situation, once you bring in the example of the king taking the donkey,
yeah.
It's an act of God. I have zero functionality.
Correct.
And the Mishnah says, you the renter bear the risk.
Correct. You're a bad mazel.
If in that extreme situation where I have zero functionality, and I bear the risk, why do you have to introduce another example, act of God? Partial functionality because it's blindness, and I still bear the risk. Oh. It's a given. It's a kal v'chomer.
If the animal dies, I have to replace it. In other words, because we switch to the intrinsic element of what I gave you. In other words, when the outside force comes into the king, then even though you have zero functionality,
the owner gets the animal back,
and the renter has to bear the responsibility.
Whereas when the animal dies, or when the animal goes blind, he gets a partial animal back. He doesn't get the whole animal back.
Yeah, but the renter still pays for the full 7 days.
Exactly.
There's a distinction.
And that's why they're making the distinction, to show you they both have the same result.
But remember, there's really a difference between whether or not if the item itself that I provided, something has happened to that item. Because there we make a distinction between whether or not it broke or it died. And then I, the owner, I have to give you something back. You paid me money for this. I have to give it, even though that's an act of God. But you rented an animal from me. I'm responsible for getting you another animal in its place or refunding your money.
Death
or breaking. But not if it's if the king comes, then I can claim
your bad mazel.
Bad mazel.
But if it went blind, you're bad muzzle.
Yeah, it went blind. You're bad muzzle. You're bad muzzle.
Because that wasn't through use. That's something else that happened. This thing, when it died and was broken, you could say it's through use. The guy just expired.
Okay, we're gonna we have more. We got to do the Gemara. So let's leave this. This is what we have. The three sections. Let's just review quickly the three sections, and we'll get started with the Gemara a little bit still tonight. So section number one, discuss where you, the renter, are the one who deviated from the terms. You took it where it should have been, in the valley or the mountain, and the opposite. Section one said the animal then died, and you, the renter, for deviating, bear full responsibility for the death of the animal, and you would have to pay the owner back. That was section one. Yes, so far so good?
Yes.
Section two, similarly, you, the renter, deviate, except here the Mishnah then said, and listed a cause of death. Did it trip? Or did it overheat? And the Mishnah then goes through, if it tripped in the valley where you were supposed to be up on a mountain, then I'm not obligated, because I should have been able to handle that. And if it overheated on the mountaintop, where it was supposed to be in a valley, I'm not responsible, I should have been able to handle that. And so the Mishnah in section 2 delineates between the cause of death as to why or why not we would make the renter responsible when he deviates. So far, so good. That was a review of the first two sections. The Gemara is going to now ask the question which was sort of asked earlier, which is, what's the difference between section A, section 1, and section 2? Because in section 2, when you deviate, or I'll phrase it like this. If you go into your local Orthodox rabbi with such a case, if I only learn section 2, and the two people come in front of me, the renter and the owner, and they say, he was supposed to be in the valley, took it up to the mountain, and the animal died. If I'm section 2 based in, what question do I ask the renter when this case comes before me? I have one question for him.
How did it die?
That's what I want to know. This case comes before me, if I'm a section 2 rabbi, and the guy, the owner says, he was supposed to be in the valley, took it up onto the mountaintop, and it died. And he says, it was all my fault, blah, 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 blah. I have one question. How did it die? Did it trip or did it overheat? That's how I would possibly, that's how I would sit if I'm a basin. If I'm section 1 rabbi and the case comes before me, what do I paskin?
It's irrelevant.
Did the animal die? You're chayiv because you deviated. Asks the Gemara, wait a minute. You can't have two different basins over here. If section 1 teaches when you deviate, you're responsible. Section number 2 said,
maybe.
Well, it depends.
If your deviation was
impacted easy. The death or not. But which way is it? Section 1 is across the board, you're obligated. And section 2 says, it depends. How did it die? Why did it die? Did it die on account of your mistake? Did it not die on account of your deviation? Maybe you're obligated, maybe you're not obligated. What's the difference between section 1 and section 2? And how do we explain this and then understand la halacha, how a basin is supposed to proceed when I have two contradictory implications of this exact same case of a guy who deviated? Do we ask why and cause of death, or do we not? Here's the question.
You have to ask why.
Well, section 1 does not.
Section 1.
That would be a potential answer. That would be a non-appealing answer, because that would be a very wordy Mishnah to do that. Just drop section 1 entirely. It doesn't teach me anything. So the fact that I have two cases, I have a full case of Hasochar Tachamor, and it says, you know, there's 10 mil and 10 mil, you're chayiv, sounds like it's teaching me something, but they're contradictory teachings, because the first one teaches me I don't ask questions.
It's absolute.
It's superfluous.
And the second one says, it depends on how it died and why did it die.
It's superfluous.
It's not superfluous, they're contradictory. It's worse than superfluous. Do I have to ask why and how it died or not? Yeah? Our Gemara is going to now give four. We'll see how many we get through still tonight. We'll try to do at least one or two, if not all of them. Our Gemara is going to give four explanations for what the first case of our Mishnah is teaching and how it combines or jives with the second section of our Mishnah. Let's tackle them now in the Gemara. So your sheet, you could put it away. I mean, you could leave it out if you want, but the sheet only addressed the Mishnah. Just to make sure that we had that clear. Says the Gemara, my shna resha. You ever want to see where I am? And I find chesam and aleph towards the bottom. My shna resha delog komaflig. What's the difference in the resha, the first case of the Mishnah, in which we make no distinction between cause of death? We just say you're obligated. My shna seifa. And what's different about the second case, the komaflig, in which we do indeed make these distinctions as to cause of death of the animal? Says the Gemara, answer number one of four. Amri Devei Rebianai, Reisha Shemesa Machmas Avir. In the Reisha, in the first case, we can say that the animal died on account of the air. Meaning, De Amrinon Avira De Har Katla, where we can say that the air of the mountaintop killed it. Or Avamrinon Avira De Bika Katla, or the air of the valley is what killed it. Explains Rashi, and we'll read it. Let's read to the Rashi, and then we'll translate. Second Rashi in the Gemara. Lo huchlaka velo huchma umesa me'atzma. It didn't trip.
Second Rashi.
It didn't overheat. It just died. Answer number one of the Gemara says as follows. Sometimes we see why an animal died. The animal tripped, or the animal overheated. It's clear why it died. Now, that goes both ways. Meaning, when I say when it goes both ways in case number two, is if the animal tripped, and again, it tripped in a valley. It was supposed to be up in the mountain, and it tripped in a valley. So now I can say, as the renter, the cause of death helps my cause, in which I can say, it's not my fault. This animal tripped. It's supposed to be a mountain animal. It tripped in the valley. I'm not responsible, and the halacha would agree. So the fact that we know what the cause of death is allows us to go both ways. If it had tripped up in the mountaintop and it was supposed to be a valley animal, we can say, what are you doing with it up there? Of course you're responsible. But if it tripped in the valley, it wasn't supposed to happen. So when there's a clear cause of death, we know what to do with it. We can either make you responsible for that, or we can say, I'm not responsible because we know what happened. What's the first case teaching? What if we have no idea what happened? The animal just died. It just died.
But you were there.
But I don't know why it died.
You know why?
There are no signs. It doesn't exhibit anything. It just died.
Here's the reason. Here's the reason. Let's say he hired a mountain donkey, and he went up to the mountain, and it slipped and died. They don't give you that specific case.
But number one does cover it.
It's your word answer, because it said that this is case one, case two, and if you don't know, Chayav.
No, then you go back to case one.
Well, that's what case one is.
Case one is regardless.
That's what you presented as being the wordy answer. It's a lot of cumbersome. You don't need that much to tell you that much.
Okay, a complaint on the answer, but at least as far as reading the Mishnah, what's case number one? Unknown cause of death. I don't know. Now, I'm not supposed to be here. Agreed. I'm supposed to be in the valley. I took it up to the mountain, and an unknown claim. I don't know why it died. It just died. And so the renter says, maybe it was destined to die. I don't know. And the owner says, no. So what does Beis Din do with such a situation like that? So says the answer number one of the Gemara, we have a right to say the avir, the environment that it's not supposed to be in, is what killed it. We don't know why it died. So we're going to attribute it to the fact that it's not supposed to be here. It's a big chiddush. So now, if it slipped in a mountaintop and it's supposed to be in a valley, or overheated in a valley and it was supposed to be in the mountaintop. So of course we attribute the cause of death to the renter who took it in the wrong place. Exactly. But if it just died, answer number one, the Gemara says, that we will attribute, that's what the first case is saying, you deviated and took it into a place where it's not supposed to be, we will now attribute its death to the air, either the crisp air or the stale air, but it's not supposed to be in that air.
That's a contradiction.
What it's essentially saying is that the default position is you're chayav, but here are a couple exceptions later where you're okay.
Exactly.
Correct. That's what it'd be saying. In other words, an unknown cause of death, not let's not say every
air or something else too.
No, careful. We're going to see some more cases. We're going to see some more cases.
Because case two.
Okay. Good. You're asking the right questions. You're asking good questions.
Because case two doesn't cover the specific case that case one does, where you take a mountain donkey, take it up the mountain, and it still slips and it still dies. That's what case one covers, because it doesn't go through that specific case in case two.
Case one, if that happened in case one, I wouldn't be obligated.
Of course not, but that's why it's a blanket cover, and case two is the exception, where you go in the opposite.
No. This is going to answer Hoodie's question. Hold on 1 second. No. Let me be very clear. This is an important distinction. In case number one, according to this first answer, why did the animal die?
Because of...
Wrong place.
We don't know. It just dropped dead.
Oh.
It dropped dead, and we're going to explain it. We're going to explain it by saying...
Okay.
Bad air. It's not where
it's
supposed
to... there.
Right, exactly. It's unaccustomed to the area. Now, the reason why this is very significant is... One second. According to this answer, what would be if I had... It was supposed to be a valley goat or donkey,
yeah.
And I took it up to the mountaintop, and it overheated. I know why it died. It overheated.
Then
am I obligated?
I
am not.
No.
We're not going to number two. Because I have a cause of death.
I know why it died.
No, but the first answer is when I don't know.
No, but he's claiming Gemara's because of
It's because I don't know why it died.
You're assuming.
I have a right to say it wasn't supposed to be here and the air was unusual for it.
But you don't really know.
But let's say I know that the mountain goat slipped in the valley. I could still say... That's case number two. I have a cause of death that slips me into case number two. Case number one is only where I don't have a cause of death. I can attribute what seems to be a natural death. The chiddush is, you're not supposed to be here. And since I don't have a cause of death, I'm going to attribute it to where it's being, where it's not supposed to be, and you'll be obligated. But if I have a cause of death, slipping or overheating in an area where it should have been able to handle it,
yeah.
Then I'll be exempt. That's case number two.
Prediction to number two.
Not at all.
Yes, it is.
No, it is
not. Number two, because number two says that if you have a valley animal and you take it up to the crisp, cool air of the...
You're confusing. I know what you're doing. Overheating is different than the avira. Those are different things.
Why?
Because overheating is where the avira is a specific answer of the different qualities of air, not the... I know you're it's a fair point, but it's not the Gemara. Huchma and Huchlaka, slipping and overheating, are specific. We could identify the cause of death of it overheated, as opposed to just saying the atmosphere was different than what it's used to, and that's why he died.
Okay.
But it's different. Overheating is a cause of death. I can attribute the cause of death to overheating or to slipping, and that's case number two. Case number one is, I don't have a cause of death. I'm going to blame you for switching. As long as it's an unknown cause of death, I'm going to put it on your doorstep. But if it is a known cause of death, then it might play to the owner's benefit. It might play to the renter's benefit. But I know what happens.
And if you didn't switch and it still happened in the proper spots, then you're exempt.
Correct, like always.
So which means that's why, and that was my original question, that's why if you did take the mountain donkey up the mountain,
which you're supposed to do,
slip there in the mountain,
you're not obligated.
Even though it doesn't cover that specific case, number one covers it for it in a sense.
Well,
like
that doesn't need to be covered. I didn't do anything wrong because that's the statement.
I've got an original question. What allows you in
One more minute. Yeah,
what allows you in the language to make the assumption you made for case one that you don't know the cause?
It doesn't say. It just says umesa. Versus case number two, where it tells me why.
But they give you rents a donkey to drive it on the mountain, but drove it through the valley.
Correct. I changed. I've deviated.
So you deviated. You were given an animal, told that you were only using it here. The owner says, this donkey has to stay in the valley. So I have the assumption that you're going against... what the contract is.
That's right. That's exactly right.
But that doesn't make the assumption I don't know why it died. It makes the assumption...
No, you're confused. There are two parts of the case. The first thing is, what did I do? What was my action? My action was, I deviated. I took it to a place I wasn't supposed to happen, to go.
Right.
Then what happened? So case number one says, umesa, it died. and doesn't tell me why. It doesn't tell me anything. Case number two says, gives me a cause of death. So it says the answer, the first answer, the Rabbi Yannai.
It doesn't have to, because...
What do you mean doesn't have to? What doesn't have to?
If I rent a bike, and it's the thin little tires, and I'm told by the renter, you have to use that in the city, you're not allowed to take it up Mount Royal on the paths.
Yeah.
You don't have to have any reasons. You're told you got to stay in
correct.
The city.
All right.
You take it up on the mountain.
Yes.
You've gone against the contract.
Agreed.
Right.
Here he goes against the contract.
Agreed. You're saying everything the Mishnah says. Are you asking me a question?
But here it says, if it died, we...
Correct. And now you took it up, and then it broke. And you have to finish your story. And it broke.
Yes.
How did it break? Somebody throw a stone at it? Did you ride it off the cliff? Or did it pop a tire? What happened?
So let's go.
So case number one just says it died.
It's yes. a general thing. It's this is more specific, right. for example.
So that's the first answer to the Gemara is, how did it die? Unknown cause of death. What does Beis Din do with an unknown cause of death? We
right.
attribute it to the fact that you took it to a place that's not supposed to be, and therefore you'll be liable. But if I have a cause of death, then I would shift it into case number two. And therefore, in summary, what this will conclude for tonight, summary would be, case number one is, according to the first answer, the Gemara, we got four, so three more coming up. In an unknown cause of death, will blame the deviating renter and say the unfamiliar airspace was somehow responsible for this death, and you have to pay. But if I know the cause of death, then I shift into case number two, and I'll ask, is the known cause of death, could it have happened anyway? If yes, you're not obligated. If no, you are obligated. We will see a bunch of other different answers that are going to play a lots of different scenarios, and we'll try to put them all together and keep
our
it all.
Our rental agency in Israel can use this.
100%. No, 100%. It's not a joke. In other words, if you get stoned, if you...
If you take a
car, you're renting your Yerushalayim, and you take it over the Green Line, and it gets stoned, and a window breaks. So can they say, what are you taking your car to that area for? You know that they throw stones at the cars over here. Or can you say, it's not my fault, I didn't throw the stone. Who's liable? And it's 100%. That's an exact example of what we'll see.
The main thing is not to become an Ungari.
Okay, wonderful. So, hope to see you all in Mirtz Hashem next week.
That's a module.
You know why there's no more Hungarians? They kept stealing rented donkeys. And people couldn't take them. So they got rid of the Hungarians.
The Romanians came, stole all their horses. I'm the only one here who remembers when things were delivered by horse.
No,
milk.
I remember.
Bread.
I remember bread. That. We used to play with the frozen stuff in the winter in the streets, hockey.
And the ice.
You know, with the things that the horses dropped.
And the horses used to wear blinders. The horses knew where to stop on their own after a while. They knew that they stopped.
Remember the stuff they dropped in the street?
Of course I remember.
It froze in the winter, and that's when we play hockey with.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. I was 6 years old.
I keep in the mind.
Remember, Montreal was Borden's or